everybody, Maria from Magic the Amateuring here. Before we get into episode 2 of the Pro the Ring, I just wanted to say that we did have some audio issues with this episode. We were recording video with it for Tulare Community College, and it didn't really work out, and we had some mic problems. So the audio quality on this episode is very low. However, I hope you can still listen to it. I still listen to it, and I rather like it. It is a very funny interview with Pro Joel Larson, and we love him, so we still wanted to post this for you because it was a great chat that we had with Joel. So I just want to apologize for the audio quality before we got into the show, and let you know that the quality will be better on the next episode as we figure more things out technically. We're on a learning curve here as we try new technical things with the show, so I hope you'll stick with us. All right, everybody, enjoy. Welcome to episode 2 of Magic the Pro the Ring. I'm Maria, one of your hosts.
I'm a Megan.
You are, in fact, a Megan.
I'm a Megan. Another one of your hosts.
We are so lucky to be able to do this show thanks to your support on Patreon. We've reached a level where we can produce one of these episodes per month with a Magic Pro player.
Absolutely. And this week we are joined by none other than just the most disgustingly nice person.
I would agree.
The Swedish man with great hair, Joel Larson himself.
Yay!
That's me.
Welcome to the show, Joel. How are you doing tonight?
Thanks. I'm fine. A little bit of a sore throat, so I hope that won't affect any of our nice conversation here, but I'm fine. How about you guys?
We're great. We just want to shout out thank you to Joel for recording with us. It is now approximately 1:30 in the morning, Joel's time. The time difference is sick.
And to be fair, when we were first asked him to record, we were like, oh, 6 o'clock our time, midnight your time. And he was like, yeah, I'll be awake then. And then we had the time zones wrong, which is really surprising if you know us.
Not as much, I can see.
It's not surprising. I get time zones wrong constantly. Megan's being facetious.
Yeah, I mean, me too. So.
Okay. Joel was our teammate on the Magic Community Cup earlier this year out in Seattle. Yep. So we know Joel, a little bit. We had the pleasure of hanging out in Seattle with him for a day, as well as playing on the Community Cup, which we crushed Wizards in.
Yep.
Just absolutely.
That was kind of sweet, actually.
Decimated them. And Joel played the best game of Commander that I've probably ever seen.
It was amazing.
It was great.
So, Joel, I wanted to start out this Magic the Pro the Ring episode by asking you pretty basic Magic question. How in the world did you get started playing Magic? Tell us of your epic journey.
Well, it's not super epic, but I'll try to make it more interesting than it actually is. Like, my friend, me and my nerdy friend, who always played games back in the days, I think it was around 8th grade in high school. We did 1-9. I was like 13, maybe 14. Started playing and said, oh, you better check out this new cool game. And I was obviously hooked quite fast. And I started playing with him. And then more and more people in school started playing. Some of us continued while others stopped as a casual one-time thing. And I think I'm the only one from that group who still plays. So you met new friends and you started going to these local tournaments. And that's how it spiraled out of control, I guess.
Spiraled out of control.
Spiraled out of control. That's pretty much how it goes.
Yeah, that's how I would explain it.
Pretty much. From picking up a card and how does this work to work with it full time. It's kind of out of control, I would say.
So this is your full-time job, right?
That is correct.
How do you make it work, Joel? I mean, are you just kind of stringing together your wins on, GPs? And I mean, you recently won a pro tour. How does it work for the life of a pro?
Like a day in normal life?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. It mostly comes down to playing a lot of Magic Online for me. So that's how I keep up, my ferocious play skill. also, besides from that, I write some articles for MTG Midcard to try to sustain myself besides from playing Grand Prix and especially Pro Tours, of course. So that's kind of what's up.
How many hours a day does it take you to do your hair? Like, what portion of your day?
I'm going to guess all of it.
Hair maintenance.
like 2 minutes, maybe, tops?
2 minutes, Megan. Do you hear that?
I don't want to.
Do you know how much time I spend on my hair? It's more than 2 minutes.
I spend 2 minutes on my hair, but I also, I get what I deserve out of that.
I remember.
So you're trying to say I don't deserve it?
No, I'm just saying that, you know, like, some of us are born lucky.
Sure, that's right.
I remember, you showed me, you're like, okay, I'll show you how I do my hair in the morning. And you, like, said you, like, got some paste in your hands. You did this. You rub them together, and then you, like, push them through your hair, and you're like, that's it.
Is that about it?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't remember this at all, but I'm sure you're right.
You did, I promise.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Some people were taken to calling you Swedish Kibler because you bared sort of a passing resemblance to Brian Kibler. But then after you won the Pro Tour, people were like, no, Brian Kibler is the American you. How do you feel about that?
Yeah.
It's pretty funny, actually. It started in, like, Montreal, I think it was 2013, when I came second. Like, my first, like, largest breakout. And, like, all the people from Shadow Fireball started calling him that. Like, especially LSV. I think he even started a Moto account that was called Swedish Kibler or something like that. It's kind of funny.
I'm not super surprised. No.
No, yeah. And then it kind of went up and down all the time. But the more and more I had more results and Kibler going more and more into Hearthstone, it kind of, you know, I kind of overtook the name, I would assume.
More than 50% of the time. You have the best hair in Magic. That's what people say.
Mm-hmm. It's like a Highlander situation, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of like, I remember still from so many tournaments how people talk about that instead of, like, how I'm playing. It's kind of funny. It's like, oh, I hope somebody someday will appreciate the way I play the game. But...
Come on, y'all. You know that's not going to happen.
Y'all is just sitting there being like, why?
All I wanted to do one time was appreciate for my magic skills. That's not what happened.
Look, I'm
just kidding.
I'll put it out there. If you shave it all off, what are they going to talk about? They're going to have to talk about your magic skill.
Mm-hmm. That's
good
probably
point,
true.
Megan.
I'm just saying.
Full of good points. Sorry.
so going back to Magic, like, what do you love most about the game? Like, what keeps you coming back every day and playing it?
Tough question, but I think it's been different, like, from time to time, like, throughout me playing Magic. At first, it's just insanely fun to do with your friends, and then you start playing other formats, and then you start playing tournaments, and then you're like, oh, I get to travel everywhere. And now when that's a, like, regular thing, it's like, I don't know, it's a little bit of both. I love this, like, Pro Tours, and, like, the thrill of doing well is, like, amazing. Like, when you're sitting there on the top tables and, like, you're really playing for sustaining yourself and, like, winning a lot of money and recognition and so on. So that's kind of awesome. But also, it's been spiraling back until, like, the start as well, where I can come back and definitely, like, have fun with my friends playing wacky formats that played a lot when I, you know, started playing. So that's kind of awesome, too. Yeah. So there's a lot of different things. There's not just one thing, I would say.
What's your favorite format to play?
Well, I haven't played it in ages now because my friends used to have these tournaments in it, but it was actually one versus one EDH commander or whatever you call it, like French commander. But it's not the kind of command that the people are used to. It's like, because the thing is, me and a lot of my friends are, like, they're very competitive, like, as persons. And they play a lot of games. So whenever we're supposed to do something, we have to be the best at it all the time. And it's kind of the same with Commander. So it's kind of like playing different kind of legacy decks. I mean, it's, you know what I mean? It's casting cards with 10. It's like a normal game of Magic, but you play with 99 different cards on a Commander. So that's kind of cool. But if it wasn't like a casual format, I would definitely say it's drafting. Like, I've always loved drafting, so that's kind of what I do.
Yeah, Megan and I are both big drafting aficionados over here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's tailed off a little bit, but I remember coming back from the Community Cup, and then for like the first like 3 months of Battle for Zendikar, Maria and I would be at work and like text each other like, I want to draft right now.
Yeah.
It's like in the middle of my work day, and it's like, God damn it, I just fucking want to go.
I thought that today, actually. Yeah. I was looking out my window at work, and I was like, man, I would rather be drafting right now.
Staring out.
You call that work, y'all. That is your work.
But that is That's your job. True.
That is my job.
Pretty baller.
Do you think you have lost any enjoyment of the game because you have to do it now for a living? Or do you think that you just like love what you do so much that it's fine?
Yeah, I could see myself. Yeah, for sure. I mean, I lost some enjoyment in the way that, like, if you have to stay on top level, you kind of have to, especially now before the modern Pro Tour, you really have to play a lot of games. And I'm not usually that kind of, like, grinder that can grind games, like, in and out. I just can't do it, you know. I'm usually the person who, like, tries to do new things and brew up new ideas and test that and, you know. Kind of like that. That's more exciting to me. So in that regard, I think so. I lost kind of the enjoyment of that part, but otherwise, I'm good.
Yeah, but you get to supplement, you know, like now you're traveling everywhere, you're playing on the biggest stage. I mean, it's a good trade-off, I think.
Yeah, I think so too.
Not bad.
Okay.
So what are some of the biggest things that you feel like as a player you have to work on? What are some of the stuff? Yeah, like what's some of the things that you do that you're like, I could get better at that?
As we talked about before, I could definitely be a little bit better at grinding. And I could also be a
That's
little
what
bit
I think in the club every yeah. Saturday night, you know what I mean?
Oh. You're not shy at all, are you?
Yeah, just get right in there.
No hesitation whatsoever. Love it. Really I think it's I could work on like being better at looking back at games and learning more from them. You know what I mean? A skill that I kind of lack. Yeah, that's the first things that comes to mind, I guess.
Yeah, just kind of being reflective on what you could have done better in that game or what you did well, even, probably. I suppose I could do better at that, too.
Yeah, it's kind of hard, though, too, because you don't want to be, like, locked into the idea of that you just lost, because it's like, when you play a long tournament, there's kind of, like, the battle of, like, being psychologically, like, not only physically, but also mentally, like, well, and, like, prepared in for the next games. And you can't be like tilted or whatever. So it's kind of a hard trade-off to try to learn and still like be on top of your game. So, yeah.
You don't want to get trapped in a dark, dark spiral.
Exactly.
Or be results oriented necessarily.
Necessarily. Yeah.
So what would, if you had one tip for people trying to get better, what would it be?
That's like the hardest question of all.
Yeah, we did, Megan. We asked the hardest question.
Hardest question.
I think it's. I mean, it's different for everyone. I can say how I got better, and it's like after the gymnasium, whatever you guys call it.
The gym.
No, the gymnasium, the school after high school, college, kind
of. Oh, college! I swear to God, I thought you said gymnasium. I was like, oh.
Wait, hold on. College, it's not...
University.
When you're like 16, 17, 18,
19. Oh, high school.
High school. That is called high school. Okay, yeah. Never mind. I always get them mixed up. So after that, I didn't have a job. I was mostly partying and doing nothing. So I was playing a lot of Magic, like online. And as you know, I love to draft. So I drafted like 2 to 3 times a day. Just because I thought it was fun. It was like no specific reason. And doing that, I got a lot more confident in my game and so on. And then I played like a Grand Prix and like I did top 16 and I qualified for next Pro Tour and so on and so on. So that's like escalated after that. But I think to take away from this is firstly, you got to play a lot of Magic. And I think you have to enjoy it too, because you don't want to make it to a grind. Otherwise, you just don't want to do it, you know. So you have to think, and also playing with friends that like are in the same position as you or a little bit better than you, because you learn from like greater players mostly. I think that's a good thing. I was pretty lucky because I came to this place, we were having these local tournaments when I was younger, and I got to learn a lot of new people who weren't exactly my friends then, they are now, because it was kind of a like hierarchy. But I kind of wanted to beat them all the time, and I thought they were kind of cool and so on. So they always gave me a really hard time when I was doing something wrong, which I learned a lot about. It was kind of like cutthroat in that way. So I think like, meeting those kind of people really helped me becoming better at Magic overall, yes.
So practice a lot and meet people who will make fun of you when you do something wrong.
Exactly.
You know, kind of
hard for me.
I hear a lot of people say that they, you know, pro players will identify a certain skill that they have that they think that this is what I'm pretty good at. And why mm-hmm. I think perhaps I'm a good Magic player, like because I'm good at this one skill that a lot of people skip over. So some people will say, oh, it's because I'm really good at math and I can plan out math-wise what I should do in my turns in the future. Some people will say it's because I'm very intuitive and I've played the game for so long, I just, you know what my opponent's going to do and I know what I should do in response. Do you have a special skill you think that kind of sets you apart or, you know, that lends you to be a good Magic player?
I think there's like two of my greatest strengths is one of the things you just said was I've been playing so many different formats. I've been playing a lot of Magic that I'm kind of intuitive, as you said. Like I can go into a new draft format and like figure it out after like 3 drafts. And that's why I'm doing like really well in our like testing sessions with our team. And that also comes down to like constructed situations and so on. We had to kind of think outside the box. The other strength I think I have is, as a lot of great players have, is like you're playing a game of Magic, and you're not playing your cards well, but you're playing a game of Magic, kind of. Because it's really hard to put down, but sometimes you make plays that aren't as intuitive as others as good plays, but with a like longer game plan in mind. That also brings back to the like intuitive part that like you understand how this game is going to shape up also in future turns coming, and you recognize what's important or what's not. And in that regard, you could also easier read your opponent. I think that's also pretty important thing, that you're always not always playing like you. I'm playing differently against people who are worse than me, and I'm playing differently against people who are as good as me. That's like also important.
Totally. Yeah. Follow-up question. If mm-hmm. you had a non-magic superhuman power, what would it be?
Great question.
Good question. a non-magic superpower. As okay, it's like being able to fly or
exactly.
Something like that.
Super strength.
Mine would be the ability to spank anyone at any time and they wouldn't know it was me.
Clip, follow up. Yep. Do you have to be in the same room as them or literally anyone on the planet?
Anyone on the planet. So I could remember watching the Republican presidential debate and thought, spank Trump. And then he would have been like, and nobody would have known.
That's super weird.
It's a great superpower, though.
It is.
That's really hard. Maybe teleporting would be great.
That'd be great. Oh,
that's a good one.
Great answer.
Especially since I travel so that much that I would be great to like blink an eye and be there like instantaneously. Instead of like when I'm going to Mexico now soon, it's gonna be like to Amsterdam 2 hours and then 12 hours to like Mexico. It would be quite a lot nicer to make a blink of an eye and just be there.
So, that would be a really good superpower.
A 12-hour flight? I don't even want to think about it.
Yeah, it's long. Yeah, well, I would probably be like super lazy then too, though. It's like, you know, wake up, blink yourself to the fridge, have some, you know. Like, never actually move anywhere.
You, like, give up on walking. You don't even walk anywhere.
No.
Yeah.
You just teleport everywhere.
Yeah, whenever you've been, like, you've never been there, you just blink all your steps, like, small jumps everywhere.
It'd be like one stop-motion movie.
Exactly.
The problem comes when you think you're blinking yourself to the toilet, but instead you've blinked yourself into work.
No!
Oh no, I pooped on my desk! Story of my life.
Story of your life.
We need to write that superhero movie.
Yeah.
Honestly, I feel like no one's made that one yet.
Anti-superhero.
You guys, I really don't know what my superpower would be.
Megan!
Come on.
Everyone chooses, well, most people choose flight or invisibility. Those are the top two.
Yeah. Man.
Yours would probably be the power of feminism.
Feminism?
Yeah.
Probably. Oh, God.
Would it be the ability to turn into a raccoon at any moment?
I would totally take changing into an animal.
Okay.
But maybe like a bird?
Well, maybe you can use like whatever animal
or
you want.
Or anything.
Changing into an animal. Yeah.
Okay.
Like animal shape-shifting.
All right, animal shape-shifting. Well, I'm spanking. You're teleporting. You guys, we have the best superhero team I've ever heard of.
All
right. Screw you, X-Men.
Someone send us some crimes.
We'll be ready.
We need to fight somebody.
Y'all, I want to say, your English is so perfect. And it amazes me because I speak Welsh, but, you know, poorly. It's so hard to learn a second language. Like, do you find it challenging to constantly play and, like, have to do interviews like this in English, like when you're playing Magic, or is it just, like, a second nature to you?
Well, no, I don't think about it at all. I mean, whenever I, like, read books or whatever, like, literature at home, I, like, prefer to read in English.
What?
Or
really?
Original language. Especially if it's their, like, original language. But the thing is that in Sweden, like, everybody speaks this well. It's kind of our thing. But
okay.
The thing is that, like, we don't dub anything, and we just have subtitles on every show, every series, and we have a lot of, like, American television and music integrated with our culture, so we get a lot of those inputs all the time. Also, we start learning English when we're like 10 or 9, maybe.
Oh, yeah.
Like 9 years, and yeah, here we are.
So tell me what's bad about Sweden, because to me it sounds like, I mean, it seems like a total paradise.
It's a little bit cold sometimes, a little bit dark.
What's wrong with your
entire
country?
Although summers are great, but right now it's shit ass cold and it's like dark all the time.
It's like, cold here right now.
Yeah, we have it cold here.
And I always
it's even more depressing if you like work. You go in the morning and it's dark, and you go home at like 4 or 5, and it's still dark, and it's like dark all the time.
Yeah.
So that kind of sucks. But other than that, it's pretty great.
You guys have got it together. What can I say?
It really sounds like it. It really sounds like it.
Yeah, I'm not trying to be nationalistic or anything, but I've been to like 40 countries or something. But every time I travel, I more and more realize that I want to stay in Sweden.
Oh, that's cute.
Aww, that's really
it's true.
Nice.
It's true.
Place
like I had some dreams of living in New York or Tokyo at some point and like tried to make that happen, but it never really happened. But now I'm kind of like, why would I do that?
know? Yeah, I agree. You've got it made in the shade there, Yul.
Yep. Well, she while we were spooker. Going through the whole time zone debacle,
mm-hmm.
you were being so nice about it.
Yes.
We were just like, and Yul the whole time was like, it's okay, take your time. And we were both just like, do you know what? I feel like this is Sweden's response. Like,
yeah.
This is just what it happens
mm-hmm.
when you live in a country where, you know, the only problem is that it's cold sometimes.
Yep.
It's like, oh.
You can be nice to everybody instead.
Everyone's just like, okay, we'll just be generally pleasant.
I think that's, I don't know, if people are generally pleasant. I think that's maybe a bad thing too, that people here can be a little bit, what do I say, not introverted, but
like reserved,
a little bit closed up to random people, I would say, not as like outgoing as some other countries can be.
Okay, that's interesting.
Yeah.
You guys also have a lot of great sweaters, and, you know,
sweaters.
flat packed furniture.
IKEA, and where's the sweaters from?
I have no
idea. Sweater's
no
not
idea.
A Swedish thing?
I really
I suppose it's probably more of a
so.
Norwegian thing.
I don't know. I don't think so.
Literally no idea what you're talking
you
about.
You don't know what a Scandinavian sweater? That's a thing.
What?
Sorry,
Megan's from Texas. I mean, in Minnesota, at least, we are all Scandinavian here,
Minnesota.
Except for me. But we have, like, these, like, red sweaters with, like, little designs on. I mean,
yeah.
I'll Google it for you.
So we know what's wrong with Sweden.
Yeah.
Basically nothing.
Nothing.
If you could change one thing about magic, what would it be?
I think for me personally, it would be, it's being, I mean, it's large, but I would want to have a more general, like, interest into it. If you know what I mean. It's not like changing magic specifically, but having people coming in and like sponsoring and making that a thing, like Red Bull or whoever, you know, and because that would change a lot for me and a lot of other pros. That it's, you know, a lot of the other sports or esports, they just, you know, play your thing, go to tournaments, and we'll fix everything else, you know, and here you have money for doing that. Magic is not really the same. I mean, you have to do a lot of other work, like running articles, and, you know, you have to manage your own fights and all of that. And that is not how it is in most sports, so that would be great.
Yeah, you're not the first person to have told us that either. And, you know, I see other esports and, like, people, like, wearing the names of their sponsors on their jacket or whatever, which you do now. And I think, well, like, I hope that happens too, because it would be great for people to be able to make, you know, more of a living off of this, thanks to sponsorships and stuff. And the game is growing, so I don't know, who knows, maybe it will happen.
Might change if the movie comes out soon.
Yeah.
I have a theory that it will.
Oh, okay, yeah,
we'll
that's good, you know, the movie.
Yeah, who knows?
I don't know, that's a good point.
So, that would be sweet.
Speaking of Europe, Yul, Team Eureka.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You guys are just killing it.
You're killing it. You were named Team of the Year at the World Magic Cup. I voted for you. I was probably not supposed to say that, but I did.
Was there a voting process?
Yeah, there was a voting process, yes.
I had no idea.
Yeah.
I was surprised. I was sitting in my hotel in Barcelona. It's like, oh.
Well, you got, your showing this year was just incredible. And why do you think, what attributed to your group's success?
I think we were a couple of guys coming together where we had a lot of experience from previous teams, and we were all kind of on the same page, what we wanted to do and how we wanted to implement it. Because a lot of other times you've been in this group and there's like logistics can be bad, or there's some kind of drama, or there's like it's like really hard to come together at the same time and whatever, you know, and we just didn't want to do that. So we kind of, like, a few of us got together in this team. I was invited as like the last person in the team, and then we played a pro tour and we started to figure out like, okay, this is how we want to do. This is how we want to invite people. We want everyone to be on the same page and so on and so on and so on. And it really worked for us. It's great because there's a few things we can work on for sure, but it's really turning out to something that I really wanted to do because I've been in like three other teams and it's not been the same thing. And I think the like core of the team who are like the side I'm part of it, who's deciding of what's going to happen, how we're doing things, are also very like-minded. So whenever we want something, it's not very hard to get it through. And I think that's great. Yeah. It's a tough question, by the way.
What's your role on the team? Are you like the person who makes the pizza rolls? Are you the person who builds the deck? Are you the one that goes and enforces so nobody comes into your house that you rented who's not on
the
team?
Yeah, you're the bouncer.
No, the bouncer. No. That's kind of funny.
I love how that's the joke.
I remember I was a bouncer at a club one time when I was 17. Isn't that great? I was shaking people. Like, in Sweden, it's regular to come into clubs and drink when you're 18. And I was 17 and shaking people inside. It's great stuff. I'm more of, like, as we talked about before, that I'm not really good at grinding stuff. I'm more of, like, the innovation guy. So whenever there's a new format, I'm always like, you know, spoiler season, like Christmas, like a child at Christmas and trying to like figure out the format and building decks all the time. And it's like going wild with that. So I think that's kind of my role. And also deciding like major stuff within the team, who to invite and so on.
Very cool. I had a follow-up question, but Maria's cat bit me.
So cute.
He's so bad. He's so bad. He was like sitting here pleasantly in my lap, and then all of a sudden he's like, ah.
That's cats, right?
Yeah.
In a nutshell.
That's cats.
Pretty much cats.
You can be, I'm just lying here, is everything's great, and all of a sudden it's like, fuck you, I don't want to be here anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
And hey, the thing that you haven't realized it yet is just astounding.
Oh, things are great. I changed my mind. Everything's awful.
Yeah. Saying I hate you now. Every cat is a teenager.
So the pro tour coming up is Modern, so we won't ask you about that. But what are you playing in Standard these days?
Last time I was playing Standard was in the World Magic Cup, and then I was playing Parker Red, going back to my red roots.
Your roots are blonde, what are you talking about?
No, but I'm not. Like, usually when I'm at home or whatever, I don't play a deck ever. I don't have a deck that I just continuously go to tournaments with or whatever. I don't think I've ever played the same deck at a tournament in a row in my life.
Is
so,
that just because you want to test out a whole bunch of other ones and see what everybody else's plan is? You're like,
really? Yeah, it's a lot of, like, the metagame is always shifting for every tournament and so on. And also, I'm not very good at grinding the same deck all the time, so I'm going to try something new too. So I don't especially play any deck, but if I would play one, I would probably choose between Rally the Ancestor, Porcolor, or a Tarkarad.
Nice.
I think Esper Dragon's up there too, but probably
yeah.
Solid fur.
That rally deck is bonkers.
Yeah, it was kind of sweet because like our team was a guy in our team, Martin Miller, a Danish kid, like a Danish wunderkind. He was playing at the Magic Online a lot, and it was like he said in our forum, like, dudes, I have like 87% win percentage with this. And that's like the sample size of like 60 games. And it's wow. really, really good. And nobody had played it at all since Matt Ness played it at the Pro Tour. And people were like assuming bad matchups for it, which it didn't have, like Absan, for example. So our team started playing it, and we played it at this Grand Prix, and we just crushed it. It was great. We had three people in the top eight.
Whoa!
One missing at X2-1 on tiebreakers. And wow. yeah, out of five people. It's kind of good.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, this... People were like, oh, people, I'm a fan, so it's so hard against this deck, you can't beat Absan aggro. And the deck solidly crushed it 23-1 at the Grand Prix. Like,
that's pretty
That's
solid.
Not the case at all.
Wait a second. No.
Yeah.
What are your hopes for Oath of the Gatewatch? Are there any kind of decks you hope kind of emerge after some more cards get added in?
As it is for now, we're testing for the Pro Tour, which is modern. So it would be great if there's a card that changes that format, which is very hard because yeah. then you really have to print something that, you know, doesn't crush standard but affects modern. Like Death Rite Shaman is a good example of that. It wasn't great in standard, but as good as it got banned in modern, something along those lines.
they did their job too well.
Yeah, otherwise, like, I have a theory in standard that with the cards being printed so far, like Kozilek and the Pyroclasm, that I don't think Control can like handle the ramp decks anymore. So it would be great with some kind of card for Control to like combat them. Otherwise, it could be boring, I think. Yeah, that would be great too.
Are you ready to announce on this show that you will be playing Boggles at Pro Tour Oath of the Gatewatch?
I can safely announce that I will not play Boggles.
Dang it! I can't get anybody to play it.
No.
I'm sorry.
No, you can't.
I have to.
Did you see that guy on Reddit who's going to pay $40,000 in Bitcoin?
Yeah, for the seance thing.
For seance, yeah.
Yeah, it was kind of like, how do you even make that legit or whatever? It's insane, right?
I
could,
no idea.
40,000 is 40,000. I could definitely do it. Like, it's like skipping a Pro Tour for 40K. It's not that bad. It's like winning it without the Pro Points.
Yeah.
It's just insane.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I haven't really delved into.
I'm curious to see if it ends up being real. That's all.
The deck, probably not.
Yeah. No. The offer. That's what I want.
I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, if it was 100% legit with like a contract or whatever, sure, sign me up. that's great.
There you go.
All right.
Y'all listed 100% to not play Boggles, but ? On Seance.
On Seance. All right, Seance Reddit guy, are you out there? You heard it here first.
It's legit enough.
I bet he actually already found somebody to take him up on it, is my guess.
Probably.
I imagine that if it was like your first Pro Tour.
I'd be like, yeah, fuck yes.
Yeah, you'd just be like, sure.
Yep. Wasn't he looking for somebody who's like regularly on the Pro Tour, or did it matter?
No, he didn't care.
He said literally anybody. I think who was qualified.
And it didn't matter if you placed first or last. He didn't care.
It's kind of insane because you would think that he could make some kind of demands, paying somebody 40K. He could probably like, tell them to like not wear pants as well, and people would still wear it.
That's what I should offer $40,000 for. I'd pay $40,000 for no pants.
All right. Okay, but how much if you were at a Pro Tour playing in it? How much would someone have to pay you to not wear pants? And I mean, like, legit not wear pants. No leggings, no skirt, like, no bottoms.
Just underwear. It's just different underwear. For y'all than it is for me.
What do you mean?
Like, girls' underwear bottoms are way skimpier.
You can wear men's underwear.
Oh, okay. They could give me $5,000, I would do it.
$5,000?
I'd do it for $1,000. Are you kidding me?
But Jeez. we're not talking like big boxers. They're like boxer briefs.
Okay.
Specifically boxer briefs.
I don't know. 2,000.
All right. Y'all, what's your number?
Well, it's a hellas more than 1,000, that's for sure. Let's start off there. I don't know, 20k maybe?
You have way more dignity than I do.
Not a big surprise.
Oh. No.
It's not a big surprise.
Nothing that surprised anybody, though.
God.
What are you guys hoping for BBC? Or would it, no, not BBC, Off of the Gates Watch.
Oh, I kind of want to see Green make a comeback, personally.
You mean what? You want it to be draftable?
I want it to be draftable.
Oh, yeah.
And I also want to see the Eldrazi aggro deck be a deck. That's tier one.
Like, the red black deck?
Red black. Mm-hmm.
I was thinking of a kind of cool thing they could print that would be interesting. Like if they had a, say, for example, like a 4 or 5 with upside that costed like 3, like waste mana or whatever.
Yeah.
It would be pretty cool. Like, it's really hard to cast.
Yeah.
Like, should you play any colors, or are you playing only colorless lands? Or...
No, that's interesting. Mm-hmm. I would like that, like, too. Yeah.
That would be super interesting to build around, I think. Like, you can play whatever pain lands you want, and you can play that weird land they constantly play tapped, and it does a color of any color. So you can play something with colored mana on turn 2, and then you can play it the next turn, and whatever. Could be interesting.
An all colorless deck, I would love to see that. I mean,
that would be crazy.
I don't know if that
straight
would happen,
colorless,
but yeah, straight colorless.
You'd have to have so much support cards, so many support cards.
Well, say say it wasn't straight colorless, like that card could potentially fit in the aggro Eldrazi deck potentially.
Mm. Mm-hmm. But you probably need some like red and black mana, I guess you always suppose.
Yeah.
So that would
mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm really excited to see where Eldrazi ramp might go with Kozilek and his, and then the sweeper
too,
that the sweeper that you can
I'm a little bit worried actually. I'm more worried than excited about this.
You're worried about that one. I'm excited to see if it's workable.
I think it will be for sure workable, but the question is how much workable.
Yeah. And I'm excited to see, like, the mechanic that was kind of spoiled on that card. If you cast an Eldrazi with cost 7 or greater, you can exile the card from your graveyard, and it it casts it again with, like, the bonus.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Or it doesn't even cast it. It just does the damage. I'm excited to see if that's, like, a thing, if that's going to be caused.
It's already a thing, right? With the Shrine of Ugin or whatever?
Oh, yeah.
That already does that.
Yeah, or like you mean Sanctum of Ugin?
Yeah, exactly.
Of Eugene.
Eugene.
Also the whatever it's called, Conduit of Ruin. Is it also 7 or plus?
Yeah, that one's 7 or more.
So that is a thing already.
Not the 7 or more, but the being able to like move things from the something triggering
the
ability
to
move it from the graveyard to exile. Like if that's a Kozilek dealio.
Might be a dealio for Oscar.
Yeah, I mean that some of the stuff that was pretty early spoiled seemed mega powerful if you were able to pay that cost.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
You know, you get a bonus 8/8 or whatever it is one of them.
It feels like Kozilek is a little bit more about like spells and efficiency than like Ulamog in a way.
Yeah.
Like more about doing cool stuff instead of like raw brutality or whatever.
Ulamog's just like smash, crush, eat it all.
True.
And Kozilek's like, let's get weird up in here.
let's get
weird, bros. Sweet. If you were any magic card, what card would you be?
Yeah, great question.
Yeah.
Good question.
Just so you know, Ifro, our first Magic the Profering guest, Prothering guest, picked Jace, and he insinuated Jace was designed after him.
Yep, that happened.
I would probably be...
Wait, can I guess? Is it a Johnny Goldmane?
No.
Yol is just sitting there being like, I want to be appreciated for more!
Iroh.
I'm such a dick.
I don't know how to spell it, but Iroh was. Iroas.
Iroas.
Oh,
got a victory.
Nice.
Oh, sweet. I mean, first off, you're a god. God is, you know, seems to be a pretty good thing. Also, you're pretty good at winning things, and I like winning, so that'd be great.
Yeah.
I'd be that guy.
And you're technically a centaur.
Yeah.
So you're already halfway there.
Exactly, perfect.
Yeah.
Then I could probably get off my being scared of, like, horses.
You're scared of horses?
No, not really, but...
Yeah, you are.
I mean, a little bit. I mean, they're kind of like, they're enormous, and like, I don't know, if you didn't know what a horse was, or have ever heard of it, and you would walk up to a horse, would you be a little bit afraid? You say.
Like almost any animal, a cow. Yeah.
You would never be afraid of a cow. It's just standing there, like, eating their grass, and I don't know. But a horse, that's like a big muscular thing. It's crazy.
Talking about this is easily the best thing that's ever been said on any of our podcasts. I agree. Y'all's secret fear. My next question was going to be like, tell us something that people don't know about you. Well,
we're going to go with the, your
yeah.
You're afraid of horses. We got it.
Just a little bit.
Go ahead. Oh, my follow-up question.
Yeah.
Is so you do magic full time. What What's a hobby that you have that's not magic? If you have time for such a thing.
Oh, I'm such a nerd. So I play so many different games.
Tell us some good other games that you play.
I play a lot of. I've always been kind of a like Blizzard geek kind of. So I play like Hearthstone and I play Overwatch and I play. Heroes of the Storm and stuff like that. Play some board games with my friends. We have like started doing that recently. It's kind of fun.
What are you playing?
Recently we were playing Small World, I think it was.
Oh yeah, Small World,
yeah.
Yep.
I've heard good things.
Good stuff. Because like when you were a kid, you remember all these shitty games as like Monopoly and you know, these classics. And then now there's like all these great board games that are like interesting and fun and like complicated. It's like a different world.
Totally.
It actually really is. We didn't have these kinds of games when I was growing up, that's for sure. We had, you know, Guess Who, Go Fish.
Oh, but Guess Who was great.
Guess Who was great.
Don't slam Guess Who like it wasn't a great game.
There was
also
a character.
Also like cooking a lot, actually.
Oh, really?
Oh, nice.
What do you like to cook?
Always different things, but I especially like to like innovate, whatever you say, different kind of dishes. I think it's really fun.
Just like you do with your magic decks.
Exactly.
All around innovator.
Pretty much.
All right, y'all. Next time we see you, we're gonna get you in front of a stove. You're gonna make something, a Swedish delicacy. Like what would you make me? What's a Swedish food you would make me?
Swedish food? I don't know much about Swedish food.
Oh, okay. Then any food, really.
Any food. Last time I made something great was like with salmon mustard thing. It was kind of great.
All right, I'll eat that.
All right, I mean,
I like
yeah.
salmon
and mustard.
No, but
so, what? That's the short story of the actual dish.
Good story though.
Good story. It's a good story. I can bake. I love baking. You know this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I cannot cook. Cooking is.
Baking
really something
yeah,
else.
Baking
I think
is easier, I think. I don't know why. It's more fun.
I think it's, but like it depends on the person. Because they say that like cooking or like, especially like, cooking meals and like innovating recipes is a little bit more of like an art, and baking is just like, it's just like chemistry.
You just gotta
think
of it. Just gotta think of it like building a magic thing. It's the same thing. Like, okay, this works really well with this, and this works well with this, and this works well with this,
and I'm
in different spectres to different circles, and you just combine that with something new and exciting, and There you go.
And I'm trying to reduce my dinner guest's life total to zero.
They're hungry to zero. That's why I'm a Rakdos player, because I only cook food that takes 2 minutes or less to cook.
Yeah, that's fair.
Everything has to be really fast all the time.
And Megan's a control player because she likes to slap my food out of my hand.
You can't eat that.
And then eats it herself later in the game.
Yeah.
That's the hungry spriggan you are.
Yeah. Hungry spriggan.
Yay.
Hungry spriggan. Okay, y'all, did you know that I have that photo of you eating the rest of my Doritos from that hungry spriggan bit that we did for the community cup?
And we didn't realize this until...
Because I tweeted it.
Yeah, we tweeted it. And then, like, a couple of weeks ago, I was scrolling through our old tweets, and we realized that, like, the official Doritos Twitter account replied to that tweet.
Really?
Because I wrote in the tweet, I was like,
you're like, this is really good advertising.
We didn't tag Doritos or anything.
Nothing.
I just said, Yol's eating the rest of my Doritos or whatever, and had the picture of you, and they replied back, great job, Yol.
Really?
Yes!
Like Doritos company?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, when you're starting to look for those bigger Magic sponsorships,
yep.
I think we know
exactly
who you should look at first. They already think that you're doing a great job.
I should actually hook him up with that. That's great.
We were like, that's so weird.
It's super random.
Yeah, but great.
I thought Pablo Dorito had the claim on Doritos, but maybe I have a shot. That's good.
Exactly.
Yeah, I think so.
You're the one that they've tweeted at, so there you go.
There we go.
Well, y'all, thank you so much for hanging out with us for this episode of Magic the Prothering. You're a fantastic second guest, and I can't thank you enough for being up until God knows what hour Swedish time to be with us chatting.
We could guess.
It's 2:11.
I could guess, but I would be wrong, because
really
I don't know
be
time. So.
2:30 in the morning.
Your hair looks great.
You should get a shirt printed with arrows on it that point down that say, my play skill is down.
Wow, Megan, wow. That's a new low even for you.
That is the best thing you ever said on the show, Megan.
I meant it in a really clean way. I'm just gonna put that out there.
It didn't come out like that.
I know. In retrospect, but on the sentence, I knew that it wasn't gonna end up the way that I intended it to.
Great. I'm about to complete the sentence. Like, oh, this is going the wrong way. This is going the wrong way. It's like, what? This deep in might as well finalize.
Yep, exactly. Like, I don't abandon ship halfway through.
No, you walk right off that cliff.
I'm just saying. That's a shirt.
Yeah, what are you saying?
If you guys are interested in this show, remember, check us out on Twitter. We're at MTAcast. Listen to all our episodes at magicthamaturing.com. And remember to support us on Patreon, patreon.com/MTAcast. I'm going to say it now. If we hit our $500 goal level, which doesn't exist, we will make t-shirts that say, my play skill is down here with arrows pointing down your crotch.
Just down. Just down in general. God damn it. Y'all, if people would like to get a hold of you or see you playing, what events are you playing coming up, or where can they reach you?
Next tournament is going to be Grand Prix Mexico City, and then it's going to be Pro Tour Atlanta.
Awesome. What's your Twitter?
I'm not totally sure.
Yeah.
No, it's Joe Larson 1991.
Oh, yeah.
The year I am born.
You're streaming? Are you streaming on Twitch now sometimes?
No, we haven't gotten together there. I had a friend who was going to do, like, the sign of it all, and that kind of never happened, so I had to recruit a new someone to do that, and then I might be up doing it again.
Awesome.
Okay.
Well, good luck
with
that.
That's awesome, yeah.
Thanks.
So, give y'all's Twitter a follow, especially if you would like to know if he ever does someday stream, or hear stuff about Team Eureka, who generally kicks a lot of butt.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, that's kind of what we do. That's the consensus we came up to together.
And remember, when you're talking about y'all, talk about his play skill.
Yep.
Because that's what's important.
I don't really care, that's fine. You can talk about my hair too.
Thank you so much, Julian!
Thank you for having me.